Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. Hartley, what's going on, man? How's life? How's the week going?
It's kind of in that post-WWDC lull now, I feel, where there's not much news. We're still a little bit too far away from iPhone season. So, you know, it's a good time to get into things in a little bit more detail. I know we plan to do that over the next couple of episodes.
Yeah. I mean, we're looking to the fall now, basically. It's all eyes ahead on the fall event. And public betas, too, we'll probably talk about when that happens, I think, next month. Then we can talk about more of the in-depth details, which would be nice, and how we're finding things. And but there's a couple of things happening. Well, one thing already happened. So Beats recently released its its new Bluetooth speaker. I know that you probably haven't had a chance to do, well, I don't think you have one, but have you had a chance to look at it? Are these things that you wish like Apple specifically made its own, you know, Bluetooth speaker, or are you fine with just that being part of the Beats sub brand? I think that's kind of where I stand.
Yeah, I'm fine with it being part of Beats. I think that with something like AirPods, there is a good case for that being Apple's thing. Because it's such a distinctive experience and fits with Apple's brand with the glossy white plastic. And you can see when you compare some Beats Buds to some AirPods that there are clear differences. You know, one's also a cross-platform experience and is also designed to work well with Android. So I can see the angles here. That doesn't mean to say that I wouldn't like to see a kind of portable HomePod or something at some point.
Yeah.
But the Beats Pill was always a very iconic Bluetooth speaker. So I'm pretty happy to see that come back.
I'm surprised that HomePod Mini isn't like something that's actually portable, because that's kind of the perfect one that I could see, you know, people wanting to. And I mean, I guess it is portable in the sense that it's obviously not super hard for you to carry around your house or unplug if you need to. But like, they're, you know, a wireless version is kind of where we're getting at with that.
Or if you wanted to bring it outside. Accessories that allow you to plug in a battery and take it wherever you like, which are great. I've not had a chance to check any out myself because the battery life tends to be quite short, like 2 or 4 hours, something like that. But you know, it still does the job if you want to take it somewhere without a power outlet.
Sure. Yeah. I just, from like a first party standpoint, you know, but again, Beats is a thing that exists within Apple's, you know, catalog of items. And the Beats Pill, like you said, is iconic. This is actually my first Beats Pill that I've ever owned. I've used the Beats Pill Plus, that was like the bigger version, a few times. Just, you know, someone had one and we used it for like a week or whatever. But like, I've never personally owned one, and so I'm actually pretty impressed. Like they sound great, these new ones. We have two of them, so we can actually pair them together, which is really nice. You can put it in that amplify mode, and then you can change it to be stereo channels if you want, which is always really nice. But I mean, they're just really solid Bluetooth speakers, sound great already on its own. They're already plenty loud, and honestly, in my opinion, for most things that I would use around the house. We have a smaller backyard, so that's fine. But if you need more, you can always get two, kind of teetering on like $300 if you decide to get two. But yeah, I mean, pretty excited. I think a lot of people were excited to see this back because, like you said, it was an iconic thing. What'd you feel about, or how'd you feel about like the tease, some of the celebrities being spotted out with one a month ago, 2 months ago, for a while?
I mean, I don't know if it's a little bit too much for me, but maybe that's just because I'm so in the sort of news cycle that it's so easy to get fatigued with things. Whereas I suppose for average people that may not have heard of this product, it's quite a good way of getting it out there.
Do you think that was
Apple
planned?
Did this with the, oh yeah, it was absolutely planned.
Like, oh, LeBron or Kim Kardashian, like, take this. Don't worry about it. You don't have to hide it. Just be out in the world with it. It's fine.
Exactly. I think that's exactly what goes on. It's good PR because it makes the product more desirable. It causes intrigue about what that is. Why can I not buy it yet? It's an interesting marketing strategy.
Apple would never do that with an iPhone, though.
They did it with the Apple Watch, though.
They did?
If you remember.
No, I don't remember it because it's so long ago.
Before, I mean, we knew it was after the announcement.
Right, right.
But it was before anyone had them.
Right.
So they gave them to loads of celebrities and told them to wear them out and about. At that time, the Apple Watch was conceived as more of a sort of fashion accessory. Yeah. So it kind of fit a little bit better with that, as opposed to now where it's more of a health and fitness product.
I do remember that now that you mentioned it. I thought you were saying like before it was ever announced.
Right.
Because I don't think Apple has ever done that with a product before it was ever announced, like rumored to be out. Like, I feel like it happens with Beats quite a bit, though. They're like, it's a lifestyle thing. Like, it is for those people who, people are, isn't that like the whole reason why Beats was acquired in the first place? It was a celebrity driven kind of brand. I mean, it was made by Dr. Dre, and I mean, he was part of the whole start of that company. So, I mean, like, it makes sense that that's the route that they would still go. You know, kind of glad that they didn't pull it back into like Apple secrecy when they purchased it. So that's really the Beats Pill. I mean, I made a video on it if you guys want to check it out, but it's a good speaker if you're looking at it. I think a lot of people have asked about, and so this will be a little exclusive for those who watch the videos and listen to the podcast. People asked how it sounded with up against the Flex, the Bose Sound Flex or whatever it's called, and the Roam. But mostly I got a lot about the Bose Flex. Hartley, that is the speaker that we used in Florida. So what were your thoughts on the sound quality of that speaker?
It was okay. It was a bit weird how directionally focused it was.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing. And I guess I have not used it poolside, but it's not like that was a huge area that we were in. I feel like the Beats would be way better in that situation. It just never seemed to have gotten super loud, right? Like, it had to be directionally focused at you. But even then, like, it never felt loud, right?
Yeah, I think it was okay for sort of ambient music, though.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like a small sound. It didn't sound like a tinny sound.
No.
It was full, but it wasn't loud.
Yeah. That's kind of where I like to crank it up. So I feel like, and the sound quality, I feel like they're both all right. Like, they are pretty much on par with each other. I might prefer the Beats a little bit more, but like, people were saying like, I'm wondering how this is with the Bose, or I have the Bose and it's way better. And I'm like, I don't know if that's true. I don't think that's not where I would go. And I'm a big fan of both companies. Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Notion. In case you haven't noticed by now, the entire theme of these last few weeks from Apple has been AI and Apple intelligence. And honestly, other companies that aren't Apple for the last few years have been talking about AI. And Notion has already been implementing its Notion AI for quite some time now. And I've been using it for a while, and it helps me get things done so much faster and more efficiently. Notion is the AI-powered workspace where the everyday everything takes care of itself. Meetings will automatically have summaries, the documents will find themselves, and every question should have an answer. Now, we use Notion here at Mac Rumors to organize tasks across different editorial departments, for media, graphics, the podcast, all the videos, the scripts, you name it. We are using Notion to keep track of it all. I was actually doing a bit of freelance work the last couple of weeks, and that company was even using Notion to provide feedback and tasks for me, and it was great. A seamless experience, even if you're not part of that workspace, which is something I didn't know until I actually worked with another company that did this. When it comes to Notion AI and my videos, I've been using it to get breakdowns of my full scripts so that I can use a bite-sized script basically for shorts on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube. Notion AI is also super helpful for breaking down grammar and spelling mistakes, so you don't have to go word for word, line by line to do that. Notion is also for everyone. It's not just for small or Fortune 500 companies. You could be a freelance designer, or you could be working at one of those companies, and it's for everyone. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/MacRumors. That's all lowercase, notion.com/MacRumors, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're sponsoring our show. So that's notion.com/MacRumors. Thanks, Notion, for sponsoring this episode. All right. So that's the Beats. But one of the other major things that's happening this week, and this is where we're going to get Hartley's perspective on whether or not are you actually going to buy one Vision Pro tomorrow? I mean, not for you yet. You're in July, right?
So the actual release date is the 12th of July. But okay. Pre-orders
but you can buy it
when okay. this episode goes out, so today.
Yeah. So for everyone who is listening to this and wants to get it in Australia, Canada, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, you can begin to pre-order tomorrow, but you won't get it until mid-July. But for some reason, I thought they were staggering that with other countries, and it was like tomorrow.
Some of the pre-orders have already opened. So in China, they opened already. But this is the European wave now, plus Australia and Canada.
Okay, yeah. I knew there was waves of something, and for some reason, I thought that this was it. Man, I can't believe it's June 28th already when you're all listening to this. This is wild. Okay, so yeah. Are you placing a pre-order tomorrow at 5 a.m. Pacific? What is that for you, like?
That'll be 1 p.m. for me.
1 p.m.? Yeah. Look at that. So that's not a bad time. Fly. No, that's perfect.
So I will be pre-ordering.
Nice.
I'm on board now. It's taken me months, but I'm on board.
Why don't you go in? Dive into details for those who don't know.
The thing that I'm not sure about that maybe you can help me out on here ahead of placing my pre-order is how much storage to buy. Because, you know, with all of my other devices, it's pretty easy to work out how much I need because I look at what I'm currently using and I think, is that enough? I think that's what everyone does. And if you've been using these devices for years, it's pretty straightforward. Or if you buy an iPad and you've not had an iPad before, you'll look at how much you're using on your iPhone. But where this is a whole different category of device, I really don't know how much I will use. And the other thing that plays on my mind is just how long this device is going to be around for. If this device is not going to be replaced until the end of 2026 at the earliest, according to Mark Gurman in one of his most recent reports, that's a long time if I don't buy enough storage. So what do you think?
Yeah, this is a tough one. So I don't know that you'll need a ton of... So it's going to depend on how you see yourself using it the most. I'm guessing it's going to be a lot of entertainment focus because that's what a lot of people use it for now, honestly. There are those select few that are, you know, heads down or I guess heads forward, working in it constantly, wearing it. You know, I think Andrew told us at WWDC that he wears it like all day and works in it all day. Not every day, but, you know, he's in it quite a bit. And I just like, you know, like 4+ hours and I just can't, I'm not doing that. But if you're working and you're going to be moving around large files, I guess, airdropping it to yourself, downloading stuff, I can't imagine that's the case. I think the most that you're going to be running into is downloading movies for when you're on a plane and, you know, getting 3D movies. Those are huge. So that's the thing that you're going to need to realize. Otherwise, I mean, what's the base? Is it 256? Are they actually offering 256?
Yeah. So it's 256, 512 and 1 terabyte.
Yeah, I think I have a terabyte, but I did that for science, you know, just to make sure we had enough. But I would say do the sweet spot, go 512.
Because I think my concern is that this is a platform that will develop over the years. So we could easily be on Vision OS 3 publicly released by the time there is a successor, potentially Vision OS 4.
Yeah.
And how many spatial apps will have been released by developers, both Apple's native apps and native immersive experiences, as well as third-party ones, over the years before this product is replaced by another? And if those take up a large amount of space, I want to have that.
So I don't think they take up that much, but I have to admit, when I looked at the storage situation, it was early on when I first got it. Because that was one of the questions and I wanted to answer it in a video, but like some of the apps that were spatial, designed for the Vision Pro, not ones that were ported over by Apple, those were like under 100 megs for most of them. But some of the bigger ones were, you know, approaching like half a gig to a gig. But it wasn't terrible. But then again, there was no data really loaded into that. It wasn't like, you know, you're using messages on your phone when you first get a new phone and there's, you know, there's nothing in it. But then as you use it over time and you get all those messages, people send you videos and photos, like there wasn't app data really in there for the first week that I was using it. So yeah, I mean, I don't know that they're going to be as big as you think they are, but I don't know. Are you going to be downloading a bunch of apps in the next 3 years that you'll use constantly and that you can't offload some? And If you're worried about it, then just future-proof yourself and go a terabyte.
I am concerned about it, but I also, it's such a lot of money and I don't want to go overboard.
Yeah. I don't want to give you bad advice because I don't know off the top of my head. I can admit I don't know off the top of my head how big those are anymore. From what I recall, I feel like they were in that, you know, lower amount of storage, you know, 500 megs a gig. Some were weirdly large, like Twitter was really big for some reason, if I can recall correctly, but I don't know, man. I don't know how big it's gonna get. So I know for me in my personal use case, 90% of the things that I'm doing are, you know, derived from having internet connection, streaming, things like that. So even when you're on a plane, if you didn't download a movie, you could still watch content. Depending on what plane you're on, if it has Wi-Fi streaming, you can still connect and do that if you wanted to. So I don't know, man. I would say split the difference and go 512, but if you're really that concerned.
Well, I tell you the thing with the 512, which bothers me, and it bothers me not just on Vision Pro, but it bothers me on other devices. And I'm being a bit of a hypocrite because I bought the 512 iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Is I think in terms of resale value, what's most valuable are high configurations or low configurations, but not really what's in between. Mm-hmm. And if you're already paying an extra $200 to upgrade the storage, you may as well spend $400 and max it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bang for buck is better on the base model or the top model, but not in the middle.
Here's what you could do. And, you know, if you feel comfortable with it, Apple has a return. This is what the return policies are for. We've heard constantly about people, I'm returning the Vision Pro when it came out in the States. A lot of people bought it, used it as a two-week trial, and then returned it. That's the whole point of a return policy. What I recommend is maybe buy the 256 right off the bat. Try it out heavily for those 2 weeks. And let's say you're like, all right, I'm going to keep this, but I'm already seeing where, you know, storage is good. I'm probably not going to use it as much as I was using it for those 2 weeks. I don't know that I need anything more than that. Or could be the opposite. And you could be like, wow, I'm loving this. I'm working in it. There's, you know, lots of data is being stored. I'm downloading a bunch of apps. I'm playing a bunch of games. Like, I need storage. And then you can just return it again and get the 1 terabyte. Apple would love you to do that. Either way, you're still going to end up with one. So I think that's the best way to go about it. Really use it heavily during that 2 weeks window. And then I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding another one if you need to. So that's my thoughts. I don't know how you feel about doing that, but
it's a good point. I think I will have to do something like that. The whole return situation is going to be really interesting because I think a lot of people, much like in the US, are very interested in trying this product, but are they going to keep using it? I actually think I will.
I would love to hear what you think you're going to use it for. So let's just, this is a forum. And I'm not doing this as a, like, I'm not trying to make fun of, like, or whatever. I genuinely want to know because I'll admit I am struggling to find reasons. Like, I'm forcing it into my life more so than like it being a thing that I have to do. It's something that I want to do because I feel like I should, more so than I need to do it because I can't live without it type deal. I'm going to be a little too strong, but
I think for me, the thing that's persuaded me was when I had this 13 and a half hour flight to San Francisco recently. Right. And I was just thinking, this is miserable. This is actually a miserably long flight. I really wish I had Vision Pro right now. So kind of have a sense of a change of scenery, but also if I want to work, I can work in privacy.
Yeah.
So it's not just about entertainment. There is both an entertainment and a productive element to where that would have been useful to me when traveling. And I've got another flight coming up quite soon, another long journey to the US. So again, I think it will be useful to me when traveling there. I also find when I work from my 14-inch MacBook Pro, when I'm out and about, I find the display too small. So I can't take a monitor with me, and I don't really want to buy a bigger MacBook Pro, and I don't really think that would solve the issue for me, because I still think that would be a little bit too small. Mm-hmm. But if I could take Vision Pro with me, then I would have that larger canvas to work in. And also, I could work in privacy.
Yeah,
I'm one of these people where, even though it doesn't matter what I'm working on, because ultimately I'm just writing MacRumors articles, it's not exactly like commercially sensitive information.
Right.
I don't like people looking over my shoulder and sort of like looking at what I'm doing. It just makes me feel really self-conscious. So I would prefer to work in a private environment.
So two things on that where I agree with you real quick. One, for me, it's even weirder to work on a plane, because if I'm editing and I'm editing my face,
right,
I feel like the biggest, like, I don't know, narcissistic person. Like, oh, look, there's me, and I'm editing some videos of me. And then people, I don't know if people, most likely people don't care. And that's the thing that we all, I struggle with. Like, because part of the reason why I've never used it on a plane, I will admit that to everyone, I have still not pulled the trigger of using it on a plane. I still feel a little self-conscious about strapping this thing to my face. Like, if I saw more people doing it, and that's so bad to say, like, but if I saw more people doing it, I'd feel a little better about myself. Yeah, go ahead. Interrupt me and like, tell me I'm stupid. I'm just overwhelmed.
I don't get that. I think that, you know, my next flight is on the 2nd of August.
Yeah.
By then I will have my Vision Pro. And within moments of sitting down on that flight, I am going to have that thing on my face.
Most of my flights are to New York, and it's like wheels up, wheels down in like less than 50 minutes. So I just open up my iPad and work on that for a little bit. So I just feel like it's a hassle to get everything going before I even do that. Now, I do have a flight to LA next month, so maybe that's like a good 5-hour flight. So maybe that would be the time to do it. Because now, to go back to what I was saying, one, I don't like editing my face. I feel like it's just, you know, weird. And then again, if people were to look at it, then it's just kind of like, oh, what do you do? Like, why are you making videos of yourself? What are you talking about? And again, maybe most likely nobody cares. The other thing is watching content on it. I'm not watching anything insane, but like, you put on a movie and then a scene pops up that might be weird for everyone around you. Like, they even say, like, you know, this movie contains this, this, and this. And if there's young people around you, like, I'm like, I've never seen the movie before. How am I supposed to know when that's going to happen? Like, I don't want some kid next to me seeing something he's not supposed to. So, like, that kind of helps with the whole privacy thing. You just feel a little, like, more relaxed because you're kind of in your own world and you're disconnecting from everybody around you. And on a plane, you probably want to do that. But to play devil's advocate, that's one use case that, I don't know how much you plan on flying in, you know, over the next couple of years.
That's why I also say about working in different environments.
True.
So for example, when covering an Apple event, the last two Apple events that I've covered, I have not covered from my desk.
True.
So I would have been very grateful to be working in a virtual environment where I can have TweetDeck, and I can have the event feed, and I can have our CMS, and I can have all of the other things that I want to have open all around me, all in front of me very clearly, rather than cramming it all on my 14-inch MacBook Pro.
Doing an Apple event on the Vision Pro would be kind of fun, actually. I would prefer to like either be there or whatever, but like, would be kind of fun to like have that up in, you know, in a giant environment and be able to like tweet along with it or something. I don't know. Maybe we should do like a live stream of your persona reacting to the event.
Yeah. Well, I think we should do a podcast episode with our personas.
Hey, you know what? That's not a bad idea. We should do that. I know people have done it. It's over. But it's like, it's new again because you haven't had it. So.
And also, personas are new. They've been further improved in Vision OS 2.
Can we get Riverside on the Vision Pro? It's a browser.
I don't know.
It only runs off Chrome. Can you get Chrome on? See, that's how much I haven't even looked to see.
We get the iPad version of Chrome.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But it's but it's running WebKit, so I don't know if that's...
It could work, maybe. I don't know. That would be interesting. We should try it if we can. Riverside does have an app. I just don't know that you can, if you can record through it or not. I have not tried it.
But there is actually another use case that I'm interested in, which is the It is kind of the entertainment and productivity use case at home, not just when I'm out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because I get kind of sick of just sitting at my desk sometimes. And I don't really need to go out or go to a coffee shop or whatever, but I just need to step away from my desk.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can do that for half an hour when I'm getting tired of sitting at my desk and I can sit at my sofa behind me, then it's just a small change of scenery. And of course, I can trick my brain with an environment into believing I'm in a completely different place. And it's just keeping things fresh. You know, if I move to using from my Mac to my iPad, that isn't going to really feel any different for working. Might be a tiny bit more frustrating, but it's not going to make me feel refreshed.
Right.
But I wonder if working in a spatial environment with a much larger display area actually may be quite refreshing on a daily basis for a short period. I really do want to try and use it as much as possible, not just within my 14-day return window, but I actually want to see if I can fit this into my life. Because I think there is a good use case for someone like me. I don't think there is for everyone. I don't think this is a product for everyone.
No.
But I think in my weird, the weird way in which I work and my lifestyle, I think that it potentially could be very useful to me.
I absolutely would never recommend this to anyone that isn't like, you know, super invested in an AR, VR already and, you know, isn't someone like you who could fit this in their life potentially. Otherwise, you're just kind of throwing away some money. But eventually, with new iterations, it will become more for the masses and it will be something that we probably could recommend. I do want to point out one thing. You have been in this place now at your house there for how long? And you are about to get a Vision Pro before getting a television. So that's hilarious to me. Just throwing that out there for everyone else who might have observed that.
Yeah.
You still got a couple of weeks where you can prove me wrong, but I feel like that ain't happening. What's the deal, man? Are you
Vision Pro is going to be my TV, right?
That's what I was going to say. What's the deal? You decided that you're going to spend your money on that instead?
I probably will get both because you can't, when you have like someone else around, not have a TV.
Just buy two Vision Pros and then let them use that.
Exactly.
There you go.
Easy solution.
And then you can hang up your Vision Pros on the wall behind you where the TV would go. And people were like, where's your TV? You'd be like, you're looking at it. Put them on. So last week we did talk a little bit about Vision Pro 2 being, suspended. And now this week, that might not be the case. You want to touch a little bit on that? I think we got some word from Gurman that that might not be the situation here.
What Mark Gurman has said is that the second generation Vision Pro is still coming.
Right.
And Apple is aiming to release that at the earliest at the end of 2026. But it's clear that work has moved to the lower cost model. Now, I think it's all up for debate in the way in which this has been reported. Because to me, if virtually all work on the second generation Vision Pro has stopped, that is still work on the second generation Vision Pro being suspended. It doesn't mean that we'll never get it.
Right. And that's kind of how I took it, too. I never took it like, oh, it's never going to happen. I just took it as they're stopping because they want to focus on the cheaper model first. Is that not what everyone else thought? I guess not.
Well, I think some people have thought that it means that we're not getting it at all.
No.
I think that some people have thought that this means that the Vision product line is a mess. And
there's
working.
No way it's going to be one and done. No way.
But the other really interesting thing that Mark mentioned here was that one of the ways in which Apple is looking at bringing the costs down for this lower cost headset that they are aiming to release by the end of next year, which might be a little bit optimistic in my opinion. I don't actually know if they're going to be able to make that if they don't currently have a working prototype, is that you will have to connect it to an iPhone or a Mac. Because it won't have an M series chip inside or any sort of actual chip. It may have, I guess, the R1 or by then the R2 chip.
Yeah.
But it won't have the M2 or A17 Pro or A18 Pro or whatever they would have chosen for the lower cost headset. So you would have to, I guess, the way I would imagine it would work most effectively is if the battery pack kind of had a slot for your iPhone, and that's what you plug it into, because you wouldn't want two wires going down. So it would make sense that that's part of the same thing. A little bit like the old Apple battery cases. You know, the ones with the hump?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
like,
so you're
something like that.
So you're saying the... Okay, I gotcha. I was thinking of like, where's the cord going for that one then? But you're saying it just kind of docks in.
Yeah, I think that's to me how it would make sense. I mean, that is a detail that is purely speculative.
Sure.
That would make sense to me that you only want one wire, and that way you can leverage all the processing power of your iPhone, because iPhones are getting seriously powerful now.
But then do you think there'd be like a port there for the Mac? And you just plug a USB-C cable, like more cables? Or is it just one or the other and they haven't decided yet?
I think the way it was worded, that you would have to plug it into some other device. I mean, I guess it could be an iPad.
Yeah, sure.
To me, it would make sense that it would be
your phone. Yeah, just because it's smaller.
And it's kind of the same size as that battery pack.
Sure.
And it would, I think, I mean, I'll be honest, I think long term, even for Vision Pro itself, that might be a better direction, because that way you've got everything in one place. You've got everything that you've got downloaded as well. And suddenly you're looking at things a bit differently, because if all of your storage is also your iPhone storage, then...
So does your Vision Pro, does Vision OS dual boot with iOS then? Is that what you're saying?
Effectively.
So there's no reason why we couldn't get iPad OS and Mac OS then. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, yeah.
dual booting.
I mean,
sure.
Effectively, Vision OS is iPad OS.
Yeah.
And iPad OS is iOS. So
it's all the same.
Yeah. I think it would work fine. And I think that it would then mean that when you buy an iPhone, you then have the consideration of, well, if I buy the Pro Max, which has a bit more battery life, and I buy a 2 terabyte iPhone model, then this is going to work well for me when I plug this into my second generation Vision Pro.
So we're saying that the chip is most of the cost. Does that mean then we'd be able to keep things like eyesight? Because, you know,
eyesight,
internally,
I
feel like people, you know, at the top feel like that's a very important thing. Where externally, I feel like a lot of people are like, yeah, we could probably get rid of that pretty easily.
I think it wouldn't surprise me if that feature went. The other one apparently Apple is looking at is giving it a narrower field of view for the lower cost model. So it would be the same display technology, but a narrower field of view, which I think is a good compromise. Fewer cameras as well. I think this is the issue they're having. I don't know how much you can strip away from that experience before you start to make that quite challenging, because the Vision Pro experience is far from perfect. So if you take stuff away from that, you're making that a considerably less compelling product, and ultimately a product that is still going to cost $1,600.
Yeah.
Which is not cheap.
Yeah, because then you're bordering on like, well, I could just get a MetaQuest and it can pretty much do everything. It might not be as good as the Vision Pro at doing some of those things, but it has the ability to do those things, and you know, you're not losing out on features. This is tough. I don't know what that looks like still. You know, even if you say it docks to an iPhone, it's just like, I don't know what that experience would feel like. It's hard for me to rally behind something like that. I don't know if that's the same case for you or not.
I'm on board with it. I think that ultimately the whole concept of Vision Pro needs to evolve, and it needs to evolve more than any other of Apple's first generation products that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that ultimately in the long term here, when we are looking at smart glasses from Apple, that makes sense that all of the processing is done on the device. But right now, Vision Pro is tethered. It is tethered to a battery. So why can't the chip also be part of that? And then you reduce the weight and you try and move as many components as you can from the headset itself down into the battery pack. Well, you've already got a bunch of these components in your iPhone. It makes sense to me. I also would really love to see Apple change the materials of Vision Pro. I think that front glass could be replaced with plastic. I think that there is a good case for that reducing weight, and I would really like to see Apple embrace a material like carbon fiber instead of aluminium to reduce weight as well. I think
interesting
I understand why you wouldn't do that on an iPhone, say, but right. on something that you're wearing on your face, there's different priorities.
Be interesting to see, because it almost feels like in order to make this happen and make it low cost, they're going to have to reduce all the premium materials. But that might honestly make it better because, like you said, it'll be lighter, so it should be more comfortable to wear on your face and improve the experience overall to the point where it's like, well, why would you go and spend an extra $2,000 on the heavier version when this is close enough? You're sacrificing some things. It might not look and feel as nice. And yeah, you got to tether to your iPhone, but like people can always justify something. Ultimately, comfort is the biggest thing for me. That's honestly the reason why I don't use mine as much as I would like to. I'm still not used to the fatigue happens quick and it's real. And so I'd be really interested to hear your thoughts when you get yours.
I think everyone just has a different sense of that fatigue. And I haven't used it for long enough to really be able to determine that.
Now, I know I haven't checked on this in a while until just recently, but there are so many accessories now to kind of help alleviate the stress of like having all of that weight on your face. There are different band attachments that are better from what I've heard out there. So some third-party accessories that I do want to try because I don't like the vertical, whatever it's called, the strap that goes over. And I do really like the single one. And so if I can get something that attaches to that, that would be great. Or, you know, if you do have like a counterbalance here, I've seen some of those accessories. I want to try those and see how much better it makes the experience.
I think that would be a really interesting thing to investigate, just for a video, to see how much more comfortable can you make Vision Pro with accessories.
Yeah.
Because it seems like it's actually it's been quite a quiet revolution going on in the background with all of these things that are available. But right now, if you go on Amazon and you look at Vision Pro accessories and Vision Pro headbands, there's an increasing number of these different options. Some of them attach to existing bands, like you say. Sometimes they are completely different. Sometimes they're trying to lift the headset up, or they're trying to distribute the weight on the front of the head. And some people have even been doing things like they remove the light seal completely.
Yeah.
So they let the light in to try and just reduce the sense of fatigue.
So
there's loads of different approaches here.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is I looked at that, you know, when I first got one. And there was like one option from some website I've never heard of that, you know, was probably going to ship overseas and it was going to take a while and it was sold out anyways. So I just kind of stopped looking. But now that it's been a few months and it's about to be, you know, out in even more places, you're right. And that's only going to get better. So, I am just really excited for you personally. I want to see and hear your thoughts and see if you... You know, I have an idea of where I think you might end up, but I will wait and see what you think.
You think I'm gonna be disappointed, don't you?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not gonna go. I'm not saying disappointed. I'm not disappointed in the Vision Pro by any means. I still get wowed every time I put it on. Like this is really cool. I just don't know if you're gonna use it as much as you think. Is all. That's all I'm gonna say.
Okay.
I hope you do. I really do. And then I want to hear all about your workflow and your setup and how you've got tailored, like, and then that'll inspire me and maybe others that have theirs and aren't maybe not using it as much. And like, that's good. We got to hear more, you know, people's approaches to things. I think that's important. Have you decided in this time frame over the last 40 minutes or so, if you're going to go 1 terabyte or not?
I think I probably will do what you say. And I will consider returning at the end of that period.
I mean, you could go either way and then just decide which one works for you.
Yeah. I mean, I could go for the 1 terabyte. And if I've only used 50 gigs after 2 weeks, then it's time to downgrade.
Yeah, maybe try downloading some, like what you would get for a 13-hour flight. Just simulate that experience. Like, oh, I'm going to need, you know, 8 hours worth of movies. I don't know. That seems insane. But you just want to cover yourself for 8 hours worth. And maybe you'll sleep for 4 of those. I don't know. Simulate that experience and figure out how much storage it actually takes up. I feel like it's not going to be as much, but I need to really get back into using Vision Pro and doing that myself. Anything else that you want to talk about Vision Pro related?
Not really. I'm looking forward to getting stuck in. I've waited very patiently for this, as many people in other countries around the world. So it'll
be interesting
to see.
What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do when you get it? Besides like setting it up and all that, like what's the first thing you're like, I am
probably
so excited.
Mac mirroring
to do this.
Probably.
Okay.
And just see how easy that is to work. See what the resolution's like. See how comfortable it is to keep it on for a couple of hours.
Okay, so now that Apple officially addressed the resolution thing, I can say that it's a little disappointing.
Okay.
The resolution part is a little disappointing. The experience of working on it and like using, you'll see it is fantastic and you'll be blown away by just how well it works. But because you kind of need those things, like for me personally, I was trying to edit video and I'm trying to like get into the timeline and really get up close to some of these things. And the closer you bring it to you, the worse it looks. So I'm really happy that Apple addressed the whole resolution thing and was able to bump it up. And hopefully that fixes some of my concerns, because you really kind of want to push the screen a little bit further so that you're not seeing some of that blurriness that happens. Because that was pretty disappointing. I'm like, this is cool, but it could be better. And I'm glad that, you know, I can feel comfortable saying some constructive criticism about it now that I know that this is a fix that's coming and that it's not just me being picky about something. It still sounds crazy. I mean, I'm putting a screen to my face and then I'm picking up what my other screen is doing and I'm able to seamlessly connect. Like my 15-year-old self when he first got his Mac Mini would never have thought about that in a million years. But what about content? What kind of content are you looking to watch? You're going to watch a regular movie, 3D?
I think you've got to try a 3D movie on it.
Ooh. I know what you can watch. You can watch Severance.
That's not in 3D.
You can watch any Apple TV show. Any yeah. Apple TV Plus show. It's a great experience.
What about not?
Toss it in theater mode. It's beautiful.
I will. I probably will. It might actually be the thing that makes me watch some Apple TV Plus.
Just watch the first two episodes of Severance on your Apple TV Plus. On your Apple Vision Pro. And use it for work purposes. I'm sure you can get away with doing it during it's for work. It's for science.
Okay. If you say so, Dan.
I mean,
Dan told me to, okay?
I mean, I've told you a million times to watch Severance and you have not listened.
Yeah, but you've now told me to do it in working hours. So
that's true.
Thank you.
Now you're gonna listen. I'm not your boss. Anyways, if you are listening and you're someone who lives in one of these other countries, Australia, Canada, France, Germany, United Kingdom, or if you are a part of the first wave of pre-orders, basically anywhere not in the US where Vision Pro is going to be available, let me know in the comments if you have actually purchased one and you are excited to get it. And I'm just excited to hear what the rest of the world thinks about it now.
And it'll be really interesting to see now if Vision Pro and Vision OS kind of take off a little more in terms of the community as well. In terms of the accessories, because now a lot more people are going to have their hands on this. Think of all of the new developers, all of these third-party apps that maybe you use and you enjoy. Maybe those are developed in Europe. Maybe those are not developed in the US.
Yeah.
So now things get interesting.
That'll be cool to see. And I'm excited. I'm excited for all of you guys out there. I want to just hear what more people think about it. It's still one of those like novel things here in the US where not to bring it back to the plane thing, but I guarantee you if I was to put it on 4 flights, 2 out of those 4 flights at least, someone's going to ask me about it. Maybe not. Anyways, let us know in the comments and we'll catch everybody in the next episode.